This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you so much, and welcome to Sports Saturday. Hope nothing too freaky happened to you on Friday the 13th with the full moon. And, you know, not a big superstitious guy when it comes to that type of stuff. But
you're a little stitious.
A little stitious, yeah. It makes you think from time to time when something like that happens. The combination of the full moon and Friday the 13th was certainly odd. And, you know, we had quite the football game last night on WSMI with Carthenville and Greenville, and the Comets got the win. And there were some strange things that happened in that game. We thought, I guess that's a Friday 13th effect. So an onside kick that got past the initial line of the Comets, hit about midfield, and then rolled 20 yards, looked like it was going right out of bounds before it took a right turn, stayed inbounds, that the Carthenville Cavaliers eventually recovered, led to a touchdown and a lead. The game was tied at 28 at the half before the Comets got the victory last night. But I've never seen an onside kick travel that far and then take a right turn. And then there was also a punt that looked like it was going to stop inside the one, took a left turn, and then at the last moment got across the goal line for a touchback. And joining us on the phone right now is Chad Easterday. And as Les Miles will say, Chad is on his way to Arkansas. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, a quick trip down and back today. So, my oldest got a job down here, so we're going to make a quick trip down and be back for the coaches meeting in the morning. And it's kind of nice with the huddle and everything. You can watch stuff on your phone and stuff like that. So, it makes that possible.
Boy, and that is such a big difference. I remember, years ago when we would talk to the coaches on the playoff preview show, be like, well, we're going to meet at this time and exchange film. You don't got to worry about that anymore.
No, those days are over. Hutch and I, we joked about that years ago because we've been doing it long enough. We were always betting at McDonald's in Hillsboro at 6:30 or 6:45. So it was funny. We always argue who was buying coffee or who wasn't, that sort of stuff, to trade DVDs, VCR tapes, so it's come a long way.
Some of your kids now might say, VCR? What's that?
That's exactly correct.
Chad, that was quite the game last night, and you guys came out on the losing end. But, man, games like that are just fun to be a part of, aren't they?
Well, boy, that's a nut. Let's see, well, you were full-blooded questions. You had one last week and this week, too. Yes, they are. They're exciting to be around. It's what you want in a high school football game, I think. Obviously, we don't think that this morning, but if we'd have been on the other end of it, obviously that would be a true statement. But, everybody competed. Two great coaching staffs. We personally just made some mistakes at some crucial times, and that has a little bit to do with our youth, I think, and a lot of credit goes to Greenville. They took advantage of some things that we weren't prepped to do in terms of being at a high level.
And there was one turnover in the game, and that proved to be pretty costly.
Yeah, we're a REIT team, so, when Michael did that, he was kind of indecisive and didn't know what to do with it, and we put it on the turf for us. And, as I said, that one instance didn't cost us a game. Those are things that are a list of things that cost you a 7-point ball game, and those are the things that, keep you up at night and those times. You and I have talked before. Getting beat by 50 sometimes is easier than getting beat by a touchdown.
Right. And, Chad, I thought I made the comment last night in the post game that I think you guys learned a lot from the loss to Vandalia, and it showed last night. But last night was kind of like a kick in the gut.
Yeah, Vandalia, we weren't sure of our identity offensively, defensively. I think we found that last night, and then we got ourselves up on a plateau and then just couldn't get the dang thing closed up. And, those are things that we'll have to work on this week and need to improve on. And we have a great opponent next week with Pena, so it doesn't get any easier.
And, Chad, as I just look at it from my limited knowledge and perspective, defensively, there's been a lot of big plays early in the year.
Yeah, those are things that we have got to get limited. That's kind of been our Achilles heel here for 3 weeks. And, that comes, I don't want to use the statement again, but that comes with youth and knowing coverages and knowing different situations and being able to manipulate those situations. And, being able to adapt. And obviously we have got to do a little bit better job with that. But I was proud of our kids. I thought coming off of what we did last week, and, you know, it wasn't our best foot forward. And we had a good week of practice, and we were very resilient last night. And those are things that are positive that we got to pick up on, and, you know, try to make that postseason run like we try to do every year. And that's it, within our grasp, and we just have to make sure that happens.
And with the team you had this year, with the inexperience, the schedule didn't do you any favors in the way that it was stacked. When you have to play everybody at some point in time, but to get Vandalia, Greenville, Pena in three of your first four games, you would have probably preferred to play those teams maybe, you know, week 6, 7, and 8.
Sure. If I had my choice, those would not have been my top three picks. You know, Coach Hutchinson and I talk all the time. I won't play anyone anytime, but if I had to pick my opponent, those three back-to-back-to-back would not have been on my agenda. But, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, for years we've done this. Before we schedule rotated, we had this sort of thing. And you find out it's nice in one aspect. You get a lot of things cured in the preseason-ish season part of it. And we, you know, can get some things changed, manipulated, moved around. And I thought offensively we had some receivers step up last night. And Michael improved last night and threw the ball really well and made some great decisions.
Yeah, you could just see the athleticism oozing from Michael Byatt. And I tell you what, you mentioned that receiver. Joe Lewis stepped up big time for you last night.
Yeah, you know, he's a kid that we didn't have been playing both ways. We did time and a half, and he played a little bit more than we did the weeks 1 and 2. So, you know, you have to know what to do and that type of thing. And Joe's an athletic kid. He's a Lewis. I make that joke all the time about the Lewis family. I have history there. We played, his father and I played against each other, and he went with Gerard, and then we played at Blackburn together. So I always poke a little fun. He's got a Lewis in him, so he's a DNA born for football.
Jed, last thing for you. Last night, of course, was Friday the 13th, but I've never seen an onside kick go as far as it did in that game last night. Look like it's going out of bounds and then kick back inbounds. You're a special teams guy. You love your special teams. Have you ever seen an onside kick go that far down the field?
No, and to be honest, when he kicked it, I was really upset because it was not where it was supposed to go at all. But I'm not going to yell too much when we get the ball recovered.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know if it had to do with Friday the 13th or not, but, you know, there's this part of our game that I think is improved each week, and you know, more people are subscribing to our theory. Mm-hmm. Kicking it deep and covering it seems to be a mathematical negative. I mean, people are getting the ball on the 40 anyway. You might as well make them handle it and not give a great athlete a chance to make a great play. So,
and you've been doing that. You're exactly right. You've been doing that for a long time, and that has become more of the norm now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you and I have talked about this for years. I love statistics and all that. When Barry Stewart left, we were, I don't want to say had a dry spell for kickers, but when you have Barry for 3 years and it's all of a sudden it's the norm to kick it out of the back of the end zone, and then when that didn't happen, I got to really doing the math on there, and we were starting at the 35-40 or giving up the 35-40 anyway, and that's where this whole thing kind of evolved.
Chad, we always appreciate your time on Saturday mornings. Be careful out on the roadways today.
All right. Thanks. I got it. Appreciate it.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. What a classic ball game last night. And Carlinville just had no answer for Isaac Green. He rushed for 134 yards and 2 touchdowns, caught 3 balls for 75 yards and a touchdown. And on that 43-yard touchdown, the coverage was there. I mean, and David, that from a defensive perspective, that could be frustrating when you've got the coverage, everything's perfect, and just, it's like good pitching shuts down good hitting. Good offense will beat good defense. When the throw is perfect mm-hmm. and the receiver is elite, you're not going to stop it.
Right. Sometimes you just got to tip your cap.
That was a
tip your cap till your elbow is sore.
That's exactly right. That was the situation last night. An impressive win for the Comets. They are off to a 3-0 start. So you've got Vandalia, Pena, and Greenville. All 3-0. The Vandals beat Staunton 49-0. Pena beat Gillespie 40-8. And tell you what, seeing Vandalia do what they did to Carlinville last week, and then in their home opener, shut out Staunton 49-0. They finally, I don't care so much about the state rankings because a lot of it is based on reputation from years past, and a lot of these voters have not even seen the teams that they're voting on. But Vandalia has finally cracked the top 10 this week. I think they came in number 9. And if there's 8 better football teams in 3A than the Vandals, I would like to see them. But so much of it is based on reputation and what you've done in the past. And for Vandalia, they just haven't had that kind of statewide success with deep postseason runs recently to kind of get that or warrant that recognition, I guess, if you will. But look out for Vandalia. They are loaded up this year, and they are going to be an absolute handful, not only in the South Central Conference, but won't be a bit surprised to see them make a deep postseason run here in 2019. Your other South Central scores last night, Roxana beat Hillsborough 42-12, so the Toppers are off to an 0-3 start. And for Southwestern, they're off to a 2-1 start as they beat Litchfield last night 54-12. Coming up at about 9:30 this morning, we're going to talk to Kyle Herschelman about the Montgomery County Invitational Volleyball Tournament. Of course, this is a grace-filled tourney. It's all about raising awareness and money for INAD research. Of course, Grace Herschelman has had INAD her entire life, and Kyle and Mary Herschelman have done tremendous things in raising awareness for this terrible, terrible disease. And this tournament is one of the great things that gets done. And they had their pool play last night, 16 teams, 4 gyms, 2 towns, and they will have bracketed play today. So we'll talk to Kyle about that coming up at about 9:30 this morning. We need a break on Sports Saturday. We're back in just a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. A lot going on today. Of course, we've got the Gracefield tourney happening at Lincolnwood and Nokomis today. We'll be talking to Kyle Herschelman about that coming up at 9:30 here on Sports Saturday. And in golf today, the Hillsborough Hilltoppers are up at Mattoon in that invitational. This is a high-level tournament, like 39 teams competing there. We've got big schools. Edwardsville's in first. Quincy, Notre Dame, and Normal UI are tied for second. And then tied for fourth, you have Normal and Pekin, and then Hillsborough right now in sixth place, just 6 strokes behind Edwardsville for the top spot. And they are already underway this morning on the final day of the Mattoon Invitational. And Alex Eichhoff yesterday shot 73. Alex White shot 75. Wilson Hamby and Dane Huber both shot 80, as Hillsborough has just been on point this year, as they've made no bones about it. It's state championship or bust, I guess we'll go ahead and use that term. They want that state title. This group, led by Eichhoff and White, they've gotten trophies the last 3 years, and in their senior season, they want that title trophy. And I tell you what, the Topper JV team has been phenomenal this year as well. Yesterday at Indian Springs, the Hillsborough JV golf team beat Lincolnwood and Pena. Tad Daniel shot a 35, Dominic Haggard shot a 39, Nate Reeves with a 44, and Drake Vogel with a 45. So you talk about depth. The Toppers golf team has that here in 2019. So congratulations to the Hillsborough golf program on a great day yesterday and a really fine start to their season this year. Talked about the volleyball invitational. You got the gold bracket today. That's the championship bracket. That'll be at the high school gym in Lincolnwood. Lincolnwood faces Staunton at 11. Roxana takes on South County at noon. The championship match is set for 2 o'clock today. The silver bracket at Lincolnwood Junior High has North Mac against Vandalia at 11. Hillsborough faces Auburn at noon. In the bronze bracket at Nokomis Grade School, Morrisonville takes on St. Elmo Brownstown. That's at 11. And then Nokomis against Father McGivney at noon. And in the copper bracket at Nokomis High School, Litchfield faces Ramsey at 11. Edinburgh takes on Calvary at noon. Then you got your 5th place, 9th place, and 13th place games will be at 2 o'clock. The 7th place, 11th place, and 15th place games will be at 1 o'clock. The Wood River Marquette Volleyball Tournament also going on today. It's bracketed play in the quarterfinals at Wood River. Gillespie taking on Wood River. That match is underway. And at 9:45 this morning, Jersey will face Lanphier. Then in the quarterfinals at Marquette, Bunker Hill facing the Explorers. That match is in progress at 9:45. Westland will take on Cahokia. The championship semifinals there set for noon. The consolation semis will be at 11 o'clock this morning. So a lot of good volleyball going around the area today. In boys soccer play, you'll have North Mac at Athens, Gillespie's at Calvary, Greenville's at Carlisle, SHG travels to Williamsville, Civic Memorial is at Metro East. The Warrensburg-Latham co-op with Murrah Forsyth will face Taylorville. Those are all 10 o'clock starts this morning. 11 o'clock this morning at Terry Toad Field and Raymond Lincolnwood will host Plains. You have Lebanon at Wood River. That's an 11 o'clock start. Then at 2 o'clock, Father McGivney will take on Judah Christian. Talked about the toppers and their golf today, day two of the Mattoon Invitational. You also have the Sangamo Conference golf meet. That'll be held at Edgewood in Auburn. And the Lady Viper Open taking place today at Terry Park. You'll have Lincolnwood, Auburn, Williamsville, and Carrollton. Big day for cross country as well. You got the first to finish Invitational at Detweiler Park up in Peoria. This is a top-level meet. You'll have Staunton, Carlinville, Williamsville, Roxana, and Plains among the teams competing there today in cross country in Peoria. Don't forget, Fighting Illini football this morning, 10 o'clock on 105.3 The Ox, hosting Eastern Michigan as Illinois looks for a 3-0 start to the year. 10 o'clock pregame on 105.3 The Ox. And Cardinal baseball tonight, hosting the Brew Crew, 5:20 pregame, AM 1540 and FM 106.9. And, you know, it's easy for the Brewers to talk about playing for Christian Yelich, and it's all fine and true. Don't doubt that they were, but they're not playing the Marlins anymore. They got rolled last night, 10-0. Paul Goldschmidt beat him himself as he hit two home runs with a grand slam and drove in seven last night. And Adam Wainwright was sensational in six innings of work. Cardinals still a four-game lead over the Cubs here as we sit on September the 14th. And the days are dwindling. Get the games off the schedule, keep the lead, and they will be in a good spot.
Playing you off early.
Play me off, Johnny! Where's the cane? Just hook me right off.
My hand was a little too close to that mouse, and it clicked.
The old slippage. I thought, what time is
just
it?
Just testing to make sure the buttons are still working.
So the buttons work.
They do function correctly.
Thank goodness for that.
This was your 9:24 Saturday morning test.
This was just a test.
That's right.
Had this been a real emergency.
Yes. We can't continue that.
Looking back at last night's football action, and it's hard to believe we're already a third of the way through the season. We talk all the time about how fast the football season goes. The 9 weeks just fly by, and here we are, a third of the way done with the regular season. In the Sangamo Conference last night, North Mac beat New Berlin 34-14. Williamsville, the top-ranked team in 3A, downed Auburn 34-17. Plains outshot Riverton 65-54. You don't even see basketball scores that high a lot of times anymore. Athens over Porta 52-0. And Murrah Forsyth beat Pittsfield 42-8. And the poor Saukies, that was the wrong week to have Murrah Forsyth on the schedule after, by their standards, they kind of struggled through the first 2 weeks. Prairie State football last night, Marquette beat Nokomis 58-25. Wood River over Madison, 48-6, and Dupo beat South Fork, 34-20. In the WIVC South, it was Greenfield Northwestern over Calhoun, 46-6. Carrollton beat North Green, 34-14, and West Central topped Pleasant Hill, 33-0. And we're happy to be joined on the phone now by Auburn head coach Dave Bates. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, we're doing well, and that was quite the ball game last night as you came in 2-0, and you got the top-ranked team in the state, and you held your own.
You know, the second half was probably the best half of football that I think maybe we played this year. The first half, our offense is still a little young in many respects, so it took us a little while, and once we kind of got going in the second half, both sides of the ball played pretty well, really.
Dave, you've been doing this a long time. You've seen a lot of good teams. You've had a lot of great teams over the years. And it is true that sometimes you can learn more from a loss than a win. Would you say that was the case last night?
Well, I've told people I really felt like Williamsville is probably the best team in our conference. So we knew after the game we would probably know where we stand. And, you know, I do feel good about it. I mean, on defense, you know, we start 11 seniors, and that's always good. And then our growth of our quarterback and a couple of other people on offense, they're starting to kind of figure it out. So we, even though we did lose, we still feel, you know, pretty good about it.
Dave, I know when we talked before the season, you had a pretty good feeling about kind of the mindset of your kids heading into the year. And to win two of your first three games, I would say, validated that feeling.
Yeah, no, we, like I said, this even this summer before we even started camp, we kind of felt like this group was a pretty good group, pretty cohesive, and really, you know, really worked hard and wanted to achieve what past teams have. So, I you know, we'll kind of see how it goes. It's still a long road, and but like I said, we do kind of feel good about it, even though we did lose.
Yeah, we're a third of the way through the season, but we've talked about all the time with the Sangamon Conference. The last two-thirds are going to be just as challenging as the first third.
Oh, yeah. No, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you have to be ready to go every week. You know, some of the teams that we even kind of felt like were maybe the lower half are playing, are still scoring points, playing very well. And, you know, you got to be ready to go each week or you're going to get a loss. So
I would think this league will keep defensive coordinators up at night pulling their hair out.
Yeah, you know, it's a pretty there's a lot of different offenses in this. I mean, it used to be, you know, majority were probably just the spread and or maybe the wing T, but you know, we're doing some different things too this year that we haven't done in the past. And so the coaches in the Sangamon are really good, and it's a pretty good mix of good stuff.
Dave Bates, we always appreciate your time. When you give it to us, sir, thank you so much, and best of luck down the road.
Have a good morning, guys. Thanks
for
calling.
Dave Bates, the head coach of the Auburn Trojans. He talks about the great coaches in the Sangamon. He's at the top of that list. He's been doing it for a long, long time at Auburn. And the Trojans, looks like they will be making a return to the postseason. Of course, a long way to go, but we'll see how it transpires down the road. The Greenville Comets off to a good start on a trek towards the postseason. They are 3-0 after a nice win last night at Carthenville, 41-34, and their head coach, Todd Hutchison, joins us on the phone right now. And Hutch, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are we doing?
Hey, we're doing good. That was kind of fun last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, last night was fun. You know, they're all fun. Friday nights are pretty awesome, and they're certainly a lot more fun when you win, and then when your kids play hard. I thought our kids played their tails off all night long. Our seniors really, really, really proud of the way they came out and handled some adversity. We had a kind of a tougher week this week, and the weather didn't help that, but I thought our kids really came out on the road and just played a really good football game. I'm really proud of them.
And it was two different games in a way. The first half was a shootout. The second half was all about the defense.
Yeah, you're right on the money there. You know, we didn't have an answer for them at all in the first half. They did a great job of executing our offense. I thought our guys did an equally job of executing offensively. We put in some different things, and you know, our offensive staff just does a great job of putting kids in spots and then letting them just make plays. So, and then the second half, we tightened things up a little defensively, made a couple adjustments. You know, Coach Jurg and Coach Clark and those guys, Coach Pickett, on the defensive side, do a great job of just picking things out and making some adjustments. And I thought we did a good enough job to find a way to win.
And that formation, when you have Woods and Green both in the backfield, that is a nightmare for a defense.
Well, it can be. You know, Isaac obviously is a really explosive, really fast player, just loves the game, hard-nosed, big heart, and showed that last night on some big third-down carries. And then you got Jack. Is just going to be a hammer in there for us. You know, he's got a heart, too, that you know, he's just a football player. He's going to do anything he can for us. And again, it starts up front. I thought our offensive line, once again, did a great job. They're starting to gel a little bit and gave our guys some holes and did a good job of moving the sticks.
Well, I called Woods and Green kind of that thunder and lightning combination. It's really a nice mix with the power and the speed. And you've had a lot of speed over the years at Greenville, Hutch. I know coaches don't like to rank players, but Isaac Green has to be near the top of the list of some of the fastest kids you've coached.
Well, no doubt about it, and you're right. We don't like I'll tell you why I don't like ranking kids, because they all mean so much to us, you know, throughout the years, and it's hard to say one kid's better than the other because we love them all, and they've all contributed so much. But the game Isaac had last night was just a breakout explosion game. He's shown that before, but just to carry it and then to catch passes and do what he does defensively, he rarely comes off the field. He's a special player, and we're certainly glad he's on our side.
And there was a spot last night late in that game when Logan Dahl made a huge play, came unblocked, and just lit up Colton DeLong.
Yeah, Logan's another guy. Our seniors, you know, I talked about our seniors stepping up last night, and that was a breakout game, I think, just for all of our seniors as a group to just grab each other's hand and go to work. And that was a mind-changing hit, I thought. We talk about changing runners' minds and things like that, and Logan just lowered the boom. What I liked about that drive is then they hit a big second 19 pass, but our kids never really got back on their heels or put their heads down, and we ended up getting them off the field actually inside the 10. So big hit, and then I thought a great defensive stand for our guys to keep them out of the end zone.
Hutch, 3-0, that's right where you want to be, but as you look now at your team moving forward, where do you want to see the improvement?
Well, I just think in all areas, you know, I think we found some stuff last night, a big character win, I thought, for our guys where we came together. I like seeing that, you know, and the leadership stuff. And then I just think execution, we need to be more consistent defensively. We've certainly got to get better defending the pass. That's on me. I got to do a better job of putting guys in spots and making sure that they're able to make plays, and then just continue to keep getting better each day as football players.
Hutch, thanks so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and best of luck next week.
You bet. Thanks a lot, guys.
Todd Hutchinson, the head coach of the Greenville Comets, and that was the game of the week. Not obviously it was the game of the week in the South Central, but it was flat out the game of the week in the area last night, with Greenville going into Carlinville and beating the Cavaliers 41-34. Going to switch gears now and talk volleyball. A grace-filled tourney. And when we did our volleyball preview show, we were very thankful to have Kimberly Denny in studio. And she was talking about this event, and you could tell how much it meant to her to be a part of this tournament. And we're going to talk to Kyle Hirschman here in just a moment. But they played yesterday four pools, 16 teams. Lincolnwood won the Beat Inad pool. South County won the Grace pool. Staunton won the Hope pool. And Roxana won the Purple pool. So that sets up quite the championship bracket today at the Gracefield tourney. You'll have Lincolnwood and Staunton at 11, Roxana and South County at noon. That will take place in the woodshed at Lincolnwood High School. And we're happy to be joined right now by Kyle Hirschman. And Kay Hirsch, what, your phone had an aneurysm?
Yeah, it just all of a sudden, every now and then it decides that it doesn't want to work at all. You know, I think I put it through its paces during games and stuff like that. So it decided that it wasn't interested in being talked to today.
Well, we're glad that it got straightened out so that we can talk to you.
It's touchy.
Right. And Kyle, this tournament, I know, it means so much. So I'll just kind of give you the floor here to kind of just talk about whatever you want to in relation to the Gracefield tourney.
Yeah, it's you know, even without the significance to our family, you know, it would have been a cool thing having all four county teams, you know, with me working at the Journal News, you know, those are four teams that we cover and that we pay attention to. So it would have been a neat deal. But to see just the level of support that not just our county teams have had for Grace and for my family, but all the teams. You know, it's not unusual to see teams from out of the area wearing purple bows in their hair for Grace. So it's really been a really neat deal. We've made a lot of friends. You know, it's good to see some of the. I mean, we've had the same teams all 3 years, so it's good to see some familiar faces and some people that know our story now.
And you and Mary have done so much to raise awareness about INAD. A lot of people, I don't think, knew what it was. They weren't familiar with INAD before Grace's story. And just kind of talk to us about where the research and the awareness has come in the last number of years.
Yeah, whenever Grace was diagnosed, about 4 years ago now, there wasn't any research going on, really. It's a very rare disease. There's only about 50 or so cases at the time worldwide. You know, they've gotten a little better about testing now. So there's, but it's still less than 100. Thanks to all parent funding, mostly there was a family down in Texas that kind of got the ball rolling. There's a study in Europe. There is a study now at Washington University in St. Louis. Both of those are looking at genetic, doing some things with that. We're enrolled in a drug study in New Jersey that is hoping to, like, slow the effects of INAD. So it's been pretty remarkable. And, you know, you say that we've raised a lot of awareness. In reality, it's been our community. They've really taken the ball and rolled with it. All the teams have had Volley for Grace nights and softball nights and basketball. And it's just been, like I said, we've just, you know, taken Grace there, you know, but she's been at ball games since she was 2 weeks old. So, it's pretty accustomed to her.
I think I might have been at the first game that she was at years ago whenever it was a basketball game in Litchfield. Might not have been the first, but it was one of the first. And I remember saying, man, she's getting started early. You said, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, her first actual game was a volleyball game. She was 2 weeks old, and my brother, I had to shoot the game, so my brother was up there watching her, and all of a sudden a volleyball comes flying into the stands, and, you know, that was the start of it. So, fortunately, Alicia Grossenheider was sitting next to him, and she blocked the shot at the time, so it worked out pretty well. But, yeah, like I said, Grace has probably been more games than most people have, so we consider ourselves pretty fortunate that, you know, she's still in good enough health to do that and still got a lot of smiles. And we're looking forward to today's championship games.
And you got some great teams in this field, Kyle. This is high-level volleyball.
Yeah, and it's very competitive, too. If you look through the scores, you know, I mean, you know, a lot of them, you know, there were a lot of two-set wins, but they were very competitive. You might have one game that was a little lopsided, but then you'd have another one that was 25-23 or something like that. So, we'll have a new champion this year. Auburn won the first 2 years, and Roxana got past them in the pool play this year. So that'll be neat. I know Coach Denny is really hoping that they're the new champion. So, they've got a good team coming back this year. They finished fifth last year. Only lost one game, so it should be a really cool tournament.
And Lincolnwood, they will have their hands full today, taking on Staunton in what is basically the first championship semifinal. That'll be at 11 o'clock. That's a great ball game right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Staunton's really come around as a volleyball team. I mean, you know, and the South Central Conference in general, especially last year, they were, I mean, extremely tough in volleyball. You know, you have Vandalia, you have Pena, you have Staunton, you know, Hillsboro was good. I think there were, you know, five or six teams with over 20 wins last year. So, you know, and having those South Central Conference teams in this tournament makes it stronger. And like I said, it's just always good to see those people back year after year.
Talking with Kyle Hirschelman about the Montgomery County Invitational Volleyball Tournament, a grace-filled tourney. And it's so much more than a Montgomery County Invitational, Kyle. You mentioned how you've seen the support and the love from teams outside of the county as well. And, you know, Terry Tote used to always talk about the greatness of the hearts of people in this area, the surrounding area, and I know that has been on full display for you and your family over the last number of years.
yeah, it's really been awesome, you know, and like I said, you make connections with people, you know, and you never know who's going to be able to help you or who you're going to be able to impact. And the nice thing about this tournament too is that it's not, I mean, some of the proceeds go to INAD research and that, but also they're having a bake sale this year for Drake Lucas, a youngster from who has family in Farmersville. It's a nephew of former Lincolnwood coach Blake Lucas, and they're having a bake sale for him to raise some money. He's got some health issues too. So, and last year they paid tribute to Aiden O'Malley from Nokomis with the mint green shirts. So, I mean, it's really extended the reach to that too. You know, it's just a really inspiring, you know, even if you go 0-5 in the tournament, you can really take something away from it.
Kyle, maybe if someone's listening and thinking, boy, I would really like to help out with INAD research, what's the best way or the easiest way for people to get involved?
Probably the best way is you can go to our Facebook page. It is, if you just search for A Graceville Journey, that is probably the best way to get a hold of us and to find us. We have a link to the INAD Cure Foundation, which is something that started up in the last few years. Again, it's parent-driven, so it funds a lot of the research there. We have, like I said, we support a lot of the initiatives going on at Washington University and overseas too. So, like I said, if you find us on Facebook at a Graceville Journey, or you can search for the INAD Cure page, and we'll make sure that you can help out. And you know, if nothing else, just we appreciate everybody's thoughts. We appreciate everyone spreading awareness, and it's been a huge help and a huge support to us.
And finally, Karish, where will Grace be today?
Grace will be at Lincolnwood. We're coming to the championship game for sure, and we may make it for a little bit of the third place in game too. So we will be there for that. We would come earlier, but Charlie Danger has Happy Feet Soccer, so me and Charlie and 16 2-year-olds are going to be at the Hillsboro soccer fields today. So.
What, we'll be there too, Kyle.
Yeah, it's I'm sure it's going to be an experience.
Oh, absolutely. So. World Cup style soccer.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good luck with that.
It'll be like herding cats, I'm sure.
I'm sure
it will be.
It's
going to be fun. So.
Kyle Hirschman, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and we always enjoy catching up with you.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, Kyle Hirschman of the Journal News in Hillsboro, and, of course, his little girl, Grace, just such a wonderful, wonderful young girl, and she will be out there. You heard Kay Hirsch say it at the championship game today in the woodshed at Lincolnwood. Again, that is a Grace-filled tourney, and if you would like to help out, get involved, you heard Kay Hirsch say it, just go to Facebook, A Grace-filled Journey, and you will find the links from that point forward. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We return following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins. A lot going on the high school sports scene today. The IESA also has postseason play today. The 2A regional softball semifinal will be held in Gillespie today at 3:40 Kelly Street. You got Gillespie taking on Jerseyville coming up at the top of the hour. Carlinville then faces Edwardsville Lincoln at noon. And again, the Gillespie program is entirely parent funded. So you go out and support the youngsters today. You're helping support the Gillespie Middle School softball program as well. They'll have concessions, of course, and all the money there goes back in to the Gillespie Middle School softball program. So that's 10 o'clock this morning. Gillespie, Jerseyville, Carlinville, Edwardsville, Lincoln will follow at noon. That'll be at 3:40 Kelly Street in Gillespie. Well, last night in the Sangamo Conference, North Mac picked up their second straight win as they beat New Berlin 34-14. And head coach Pat Bowman joins us now on Sports Saturday. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, you got back-to-back wins here heading in to homecoming week, so that's a good spot to be.
We did, yep. Played well and ended up getting another W, which we wanted to do. So We're looking forward to an exciting homecoming.
Did you do some screaming last night, Coach?
Just a little bit. I have a hard time containing myself on Fridays. It makes it a little hard to talk on Saturdays.
You know, maybe your kids are like, yes, Coach's horse. Maybe he'll go easy on us.
They do. They like that. And I get quiet.
Coach, as you look at your team now through 3 weeks, forget about the record, but are you where you wanted to be?
We are. We've still got room to improve. We've got a couple kids banged up. We're trying to still get healed up from week one. So anytime we can pull out a tough W over there at New Berlin, we'll take it.
And that, you know, when you get injuries early in the year, that can almost become a season-long issue.
It can be, yep. Anytime in the contact game of football, that's what hurt. It's always hard to get back because it's a contact sport. So you know you're going to get hit again and you're going to be sore.
So you got homecoming coming up next week against Pittsfield, and the nice turf field will not be ready, correct?
It will not be ready. It's close. They've got the inside ready. The turf is not filled up yet, so lights are up, so it's getting closer.
Will it happen this year?
It will. They say we will be on it by the end of the year.
So. All right. That's very exciting. And we talked last week about your kid just itching to get on that field, so it's very good to hear that is going to happen this year.
It is.
How is the field over in Girard? You know, that's a bit of a challenge, having to maintain two fields.
It is. It's a lot, and we're traveling back and forth with our high school being up in Burton and really not having a football locker room. We're carrying equipment back and forth every day, and the kids have to take a lot of their stuff home. So it's kind of a headache, so it will be nice when that new facility's done.
And that does make your start even more impressive because, you know, football is all about controlling what you can control, and you can't control something like this, but, man, it puts a lot of extra, I guess, thoughts into your players' heads that don't need to be there.
It does. Our players, they've adapted to it, and they come focused, ready for football, and they don't care where it is. They're just always they come out here, have fun, and work hard, and that's all we can ask.
You know, and of course, this is also the 10th year of North MAC football, which for me, it's hard to believe it's already been 10 years. But there's already been a really good tradition established with the program.
And there has been. You see a lot of those guys that were kind of started this North MAC program still coming to games. And our kids still talk about those first few teams that did so well. So it's kind of an exciting place. And now there's a new facility that played in the past. They can't wait to see it either.
Sounds great. Pat, we'll let you go. Hot tea and lemon, my friend.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you later.
All right. Patrick Bowman, the head coach of the North MAC Panthers, off to a 2-1 start, and we will have North MAC on the radio next week, homecoming, taking on the Pittsfield Sockies. We, of course, had hoped that it would be on the turf at Verdon, but it'll be in Girard for homecoming. And then next Saturday, Sports Saturday, we'll be live at Steve O'Dell's office on the square in Verdon. So we're looking forward to that very much. We'll have a lot of North MAC folks coming in to join us live in Mr. O'Dell's office next Saturday morning on Sports Saturday. Fighting Illini football coming up 10 o'clock this morning on 105.3. The Oxen, they won last week in UConn. They were favored by like 3 touchdowns. How you could ever have the Illini favored by 3 touchdowns on the road against anybody is just baffling to me. So the game was a lot closer, and then of course we were, well, you know, they were favored by so much. Where the Illini program has been, to win any game on the road is an accomplishment. Whether it's 2 points or 25 points, they got it done last week at UConn. We'll see if they can get it done this week at home against Eastern Michigan. Speaking of getting it done, the Southwestern Piasol Birds have been doing just that through the first third of the high school football season. And their head coach, Pat Keith, joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, doing very well. 2-1 for the Piasol Birds. How's that sound?
It sounds real good. I mean, I'm proud of the guys, and you know, just getting a win last night on the road is a good win for us, and good start for us so far.
And you've got 2 road wins this year, so that is a good feeling for the kids and a good sign for the program as you move forward.
Yeah, definitely. It's like I told you guys last week, it's a tough conference, and you get two road wins is definitely a good thing for us so far. And you got three road games left, so with some tough opponents coming up. So you know, we're just trying to get better every week and do the best we can just to keep improving daily. And that's kind of our motto right now, let's get a little better every day. And hopefully that'll pay off in the end. And worst case, we're just working, like I said, to get better and improve the program.
And you know, your one loss came to Greenville, obviously, but you held them to 21 points. And talking to some folks from Greenville last night, they said Southwestern is big up front.
Yeah, we have some guys up front that have a little size. And like I told you last week, we only have five seniors in our roster, so we got some guys underclassmen, guys who are playing varsity football. And still growing a little bit. And we had a good sum in the weight room, so things that, we got to still improve on. But, like I said, again, we're happy to win last night, but looking next week at Gillespie, and an important game for both of us. And obviously, Gillespie is a hard place to play, good program, good tradition. So we're just hoping to have a good week of practice and put the best stuff forward next Friday night.
As you look at your season now through 3 weeks, where do you want to see your improvement moving forward?
I think maybe some just more consistent offensively. Just being more consistent offensively. I mean, just like anybody else in the game of football, we want to try to use the clock as much as possible. So, utilizing the 40-second clock a little better and just cutting back on a few mental mistakes here and there on key situations. And, defense, I thought we played pretty well so far this season, but just little things, like anybody else would say as a coach, just little mistakes we made that maybe hurt us or little things we've done, alignment assignment-wise or things like that we can try to shore up to be even better than we have done so far.
And little things a lot of times become big things, especially in close games.
No doubt about it. Mistaking a big play here or there or a big turnover at a certain time or a key mistake definitely can change the tide of a football game. So, like I said, hopefully we can just make sure we try to curtail those as much as possible and put ourselves in position to be competing in the last fourth quarter for trying to get a victory,
We were just talking to Patrick Bowman of North Mac about the turf field at Verdon and how that's been slowed up. And I know you guys got a new playing surface as well, and I drove past there sometime in the summer, and there was no grass. So how's the field looking now?
Yeah. It's looking better. Right now it's still a process. The weather, the summer dictated a little bit of that. We had sod put down in July, and the sod started to take, but now we're trying to finish the track surface. We did the track as well, so that's been kind of a up-and-down project, which is kind of frustrating, when football students get things you can't do during, you can't use the field at certain times and that kind of thing for practice for those things. But it's getting close to be done, and it's a great renovation for our district. New track, new lights, new PA, new scoreboard, new grass. So it's a nice renovation the district and the community's put into the floor program and the track program. But it's been kind of a longer process, I think, than we expected.
No doubt about it. You're exactly right. The weather this year, it was good for nothing. Maybe raising some rice or doing some fishing outside of the normal areas. But other than that, it has not been good.
Yeah, right when we put the sod down in July, ironically, it just was that one stretch that 1 week it got really hot. And so we had to, try to stay on top of water. So it's doing well, but still, just like anything else, we put in new sod and do a lot of things. There's just things we could probably, we got to work on and get it better. But like I said, again, it's a nice addition. The district and the community put some money into it, for our school, and we appreciate that. And so hopefully we can kind of keep it. Get it finished and then be able to take care of it.
Pat Keith, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir. Congratulations on the 2-1 start.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for calling. Appreciate you guys. Thanks.
Pat Keith, the head coach of the Southwestern Piasaw Birds, and they will be taking on Gillespie next week in Gillespie at Don DeBrino Field. And next Friday is when they will officially have the christening ceremony for Don DeBrino Field. So that'll come up next Friday at Gillespie. Thanks to all of our area coaches for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday. Thanks to Kyle Hirschelman for jumping on and talking about the Montgomery County Volleyball Invitational, a Grace-filled tourney. You got games at Lincolnwood High School, Lincolnwood Junior High, Nokomis High School, Nokomis Junior High. Those will all begin at 11 o'clock this morning, so get out and support a Grace-filled tourney. Fighting Illini football coming up at the top of the hour on 105.3 The Ox. Cardinal baseball tonight, 5:20 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. For David, I'm Tim. Sports Saturday is done on WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carbondale, and Greenville.